First nice point. Saving faith includes historical faith, but it goes further. Although I have stressed that historical faith is not saving, this must not be taken to mean that historical faith is unimportant, completely wrong, or not needed. Certainly not. As I've said, historical faith is in itself excellent. Indeed, it is essential. The facts of the gospel must be preached and must be believed. Yes, of course. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We have a historical Christ and a historical gospel. But I repeat, this historical believing in itself is not saving. The nice point I want to make here, however, is this. It is impossible to have saving faith without historical faith, since saving faith includes historical faith. Historical faith is a vital part of saving faith, but it is only a part of it. To mistake the part for the whole is a great error, one with disastrous consequences. Let me illustrate. If you buy a car and everything is in order, bodywork, tires, and so on, but it has no engine, it would be worse than useless as a car. Worse than useless? Yes, indeed. To think that an engineless car will take you to where you want to go means you will never get there. Likewise, to mistake historical faith for saving faith means you will never be saved. The biggest mistake of all. Second nice point. We must be clear on the difference between faith and the faith. Sometimes the two, faith and the faith, do mean the same, but sometimes they do not. It is vital to distinguish the two. Faith, or the faith, can be subjective, my personal act of believing, or objective, the revelation, the gospel, which I have to believe. The inclusion or otherwise of the definite article in Greek or English is not decisive. The faith can be subjective or objective. The context has to decide. And that almost always makes the meaning obvious. Let me take Galatians 3:23-25 as an example. It is perhaps, among the Reformed, one of the most controverted and misunderstood passages on the law. But if the right view is taken on the difference between faith and the faith, between the subjective and the objective, the picture becomes crystal clear. Let me look at the passage. Let me start by clearing the text of its mistranslations. There are two points. First, take the tutor, Galatians 3:24, Greek, paidagogos. Tutor, New King James Version. Schoolmaster, Authorized Version. In charge, NIV. Tutor, literally child conductor, New American Standard. Sadly, some of these translations, schoolmaster and tutor, even the transliteration pedagogue, give the misleading impression that the law was an educator, much like didaskalos, Romans 2:20, Hebrews 5:2, for example. This is not the meaning of paidagogos. The word is a combination of pais, child, and a derivative of ago, to drive, to lead by laying hold of, to conduct, with the idea of discipline. As Thayer explains, the name was applied to trustworthy slaves who were charged with the duty of supervising the life and morals of boys. The boys were not allowed so much as to step out of the house without them before reaching the age of manhood. The name carries with it an idea of severity, as of a stern censor and enforcer of morals. Moreover, the child custodian's job was not to bring the immature boy anywhere. Rather, he had to discipline and protect the boy until he reached maturity. During that time, the Jews were held prisoners by the law, locked up by the law, kept guard by the law, confined by the law. Secondly, take to bring us, Galatians 3:24. These words are not in the original and should be removed. They have been the unfortunate source of much misunderstanding. Paul did not say the law was given as a child custodian to bring us to Christ. Rather, the law was in place as a child custodian until the coming of Christ, Galatians 3:19. Time, not place, is the emphasis throughout. Now for the passage. Looking at it as it concerns the issue in hand, the question of faith. The Greek has 10 pistin twice, pisteos once, tes pisteos twice. At first glance, the faith twice, faith once, the faith twice. Literally. But before came ten pistin, under the law we were guarded, having been shut up to tame being about pistin to be revealed. So that the law child custodian our has been until the coming of the era of Christ, that by pistios we might be justified. But having come tes pistios, no longer under a child custodian we are, for all sons of God you are through tes pistios in Christ Jesus. How should these Greek phrases be translated? As faith or the faith? As I have said, the presence or absence of the English the or the Greek tein or tes does not settle the point. The context must decide. I will not stop to give my reasons here, I have done so elsewhere, but the context makes it certain that we should read the verses thus. But before came the faith under law, we were guarded, having been shut up to the being about faith to be revealed. So that the law child custodian our has been until the coming of the era of Christ, that by faith we might be justified. But having come the faith, no longer under a child custodian we are, for all sons of God you are through faith in Christ Jesus. Or, more understandably, but before the faith came, we were guarded under law, having been shut up to the faith which was about to be revealed. So that the law has been our child custodian until the coming of the era of Christ, that by personal faith we might be justified. But the faith having come, we are no longer under a child custodian. For you are all sons of God through personal faith in Christ Jesus. Or even more understandably, but before the gospel came, we were guarded under law, having been shut up to the gospel which was about to be revealed. So that the law has been our child custodian until the coming of the era of Christ, that by personal faith we might be justified. But the gospel having come, we are no longer under a child custodian, for you are all sons of God through personal faith in Christ Jesus. The point of all this lies in the fact that the two, faith and the faith, must not be blurred. If they are, the consequences will be grievous. Quite clearly, in Galatians 3:23-25, the coming of the faith, the gospel, is quite distinct from personal faith. The coming of the faith refers to the end of the Mosaic covenant and the bringing in of the new by Christ, John 1:17. Personal faith is an individual's trust in Christ. There is a world of difference in talking about what a man believes, the truth, the gospel, and his actual personal believing of it. His trust in Christ for salvation. And this is not the only place where the point has to be decided, far, far from it. A glance at faith in the concordance will prove it. Sometimes faith refers to the gospel. Sometimes it refers to personal faith. That which saves a sinner is his living relationship to God in Christ, his trust in Christ, not the truth. The truth itself, of itself, as truth, does not save. It is as the Spirit takes the truth and applies it to the sinner, so that he trusts the Christ revealed in that truth, that the sinner is saved. Historical faith, acceptance of the truth, is not saving. Take justified by faith and justified by his blood. A man is justified by the blood of Christ in that Christ died for him. Objective. And he is justified by faith in that he trusts Christ and his blood to justify him. Subjective. Notice Paul's linking of justification with blood or death in Romans 5, 9 and 18 to 19, grace in Romans 3, 24, and faith in Romans 3, 26, 28 and verse 30, 4 verse 5 and 5 verse 10. We are justified by grace. That is the basis of the justification, its cause, the grace of God, objective. We are justified by the blood of Christ, his death. That is the ground or the procuring agency of justification. The death of Christ, objective. We are justified through faith. That is the means, the channel by which we receive the justification, how we receive it, subjective. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Lloyd-Jones, it is interesting to notice how the apostle varies his terms in this way. And unless we understand why he does so, we may well be in a state of confusion. Quite. A believer's justification is connected with his personal faith and with Christ's work. They are intimately connected, of course, but in very different ways. The believer's justification is connected to his faith in that by his faith, without works, he receives his justification. A believer's justification is connected to the work of Christ in that by Christ's work, his justification is accomplished. Having made these two nice points, I now move on to look at saving faith.